Sup, cuz? Welcome to Coco Conjure. Here we talk about all things hoodoo, folklore, and spiritual journeys. If you haven't guessed already, my name is Coco. I'm happy to have you with me today. Please be sure to like and subscribe wherever you are listening. I promise you, I'm gonna work really hard for your viewership today. Okay, so I actually had an outline for an episode on mojos or gris-gris or juju balls or hands or whatever you want to call them. But as you can tell by the title of this episode, that's not what we're talking about today. I got derailed when I was scrolling a bit before bed and found this post on Facebook. So the post said, what would be your recommendation for a person who has absolutely no clue where to start on their spiritual journey? So the top response to that was, talk to your ancestors. Don't know where to start on your spiritual journey? Talk to your ancestors. Now, typically, that's the response you're going to get from any hoodoo space, really. When someone wants to get into hoodoo as a spiritual practice, they seek advice from those in the community, online, or even in person. And there's always someone that loudly proclaims, just go talk to your ancestors and they'll show you what to do. Like it's the Lion King or something, you know? But cousins, I want us to think through that response a bit. The person asking is very new. They don't know anything at all. So a response like talk to your ancestors is not at all practical, not even a little bit, because they don't know what that means or don't have the foundations necessary to facilitate a meaningful understanding of the spirits around them, right? Another response I saw was something like, oh, you just can't learn hoodoo. And that sounds really nice, but like, it sounds profound. You can't learn hoodoo. You know, that's what I meant to say. But I don't know what that means at all. Humans are creators and emulators. We see a bird fly and we ask, how can we do that? Right? We create systems of faith, religion, philosophy, and then we share that knowledge with others. Others who learn, right? And this directly contradicts the notion that hoodoos and other ATR traditions pass on the tradition from mentor and student, you know? So when someone says you can't learn hoodoo, I'm not sure if they're being sincere or if maybe I just don't understand the context of what they're saying. In the very first episode of this podcast, I introduced myself and how I became a hoodoo. I talked about getting started in spiritual practices in general, as well as how I slid into hoodoo as the foundation to my spiritual health. In this episode, however, I aim to be a little more direct with you and speak less on my own journey and talk more about how to actually get started. I really want to answer the cousin's question from earlier. So here we go. This is Hoodoo for Beginners, a how-to guide, and 5 easy steps. Step 1, talk to your ancestors. I'm sorry. I'm joking. Okay, seriously. The first thing you should do if you would like to start this journey is ask yourself, why do I want to be a hoodoo? Was I called to do this? Oftentimes, folks aren't called to it, right? They just want to solve an immediate problem. Usually the problem is love related. And if that's you, cousin, I hate to tell you this, but it would be easier for you to just go find a worker. I mean, feel free to stay. Maybe if I speak softly enough, I can put you to sleep. You can get a good nap in, or, you know, you can just be here for the jokes and the fun. But this might not be for you if you just want to solve an immediate problem. The second reason why people reach for hoodoo is because they have the dream or even the call to work for others. They want to learn so they can prescribe spiritual remedies and assist other people. They want to be the Dr. Buzzard and the Marie Laveau. They want to be a community worker. And the ability to do this comes with time. It comes with time. You have to develop your own style of working, have a spiritual system that works for you, and you have to understand it so fully, so completely, that you can administer spiritual healing to other people. The flip side of that is a lot of people think that it's easy to make money, you know, as a community worker. And I would tell you that it's not. It's not easy. We know about Dr. Buzzard. We know about Marie Laveau because we know that these people are they're famous, right? They're infamous even. They're more legend than reality at this point, right? But for every Buzzard and Marie Laveau, there were countless others who were working and maybe made just enough to make a living, definitely didn't make enough to get rich, or, you know, it was something they were called to do. Other people saw how they lived and wanted to take a piece of that. I find that that's what's happening to me sometimes. You know, I'm speaking about it. I'm going to the meetups. I'm going to the spaces where spiritual people are, and they may not be very far themselves in their practice, or they see that I'm okay, like that I've carved something out for myself, and they want a little piece of that. So they ask if they can hire me to do this, or do you do readings, or do you, you know, they want me to work for them, and I don't. I don't do that. No, I'm not called to work for others. Fortunately for myself, I guess, I just want to do this for me, which leads me to, the third reason why people are often wanted to get into it, and what we need to evaluate before we start is, and it's something I think we don't talk enough about, is that your magic, your spiritual practice is a personal and precious thing. Yes, there is a long history of workers selling their time and talent to help the community around them. But also, like, you don't have to carry the world on your shoulders. You don't have to heal the world or a community. You know, you don't have to go through that. It's okay to simply want to find spiritual balance and peace for yourself and have the tools at your disposal to deal with the obstacles of life as best you can. Like, I think that that's perfectly fair. So right here, right now, I want you to ask yourself, am I called to this? If that answer is not an immediately hell yes, then it's an obvious hell nah, right? Are you reaching for hoodoo to fix one nagging issue in your life? If that's the case, I want you to go find a worker who can help you through your problem. If you're doing this for community and for the money that comes with it, it's noble, but it's a long road ahead, and fame is not guaranteed. So if you're trying to chase the clout of it all, it's not guaranteed. And I would suggest that you put your dreams into a perspective that's a little more reachable. I don't want to tell people not to reach far for their dreams, but I think that it's necessary to point out that not everyone becomes a big famous worker. Or is this simply, you know, are you doing this simply to bring some healing and balance to your own life while also feeling equipped to tackle, you know, whatever life is tossing at you? If that's you, that's okay to want to keep your magic to yourself. And your pursuit of spiritual wholeness is equally as noble as wanting to work for a community. All right, so we've gotten motive out of the way. So now that we figured that part out and we are honest with ourselves as to what sparked this journey for us, let's tackle the whole talking to the ancestors thing, right? So you're brand new. If I told you to talk to your ancestors, you'd maybe look up a tutorial on how to assemble an altar or a shrine, and you'd pray. You'd pray because more likely than not, you come from a Christian background. And then after that, you would question every possible sign. The time is now 11:11. It's a sign from the ancestors. I had a dream that I ran naked through the woods. That's a sign from the ancestors. Because, you know, this is an occult practice. And obviously, you have to take the very woo-woo approach to all of this, right? But you're new. Okay, you're new. So sure, 11:11 could be a sign. Or it could be that now that you've started this spiritual path, you are opening yourself up to the spiritual implications of the world around you. And you're noticing things you didn't notice before. And yes, that dream of you streaking, you know, running crazy and wild through the woods, absolutely buck ass nude, that could be a sign, but it could also just be a stress dream, right? Your inner self is being tamed by a 9-to-5 and it's reminding you that you need to run wild and have fun, right? There's no way you could know that those came from your ancestors because you don't know your ancestors yet. You haven't delved into their stories yet. So the better approach for a newbie might just be to talk to the living legends, right? We carry our ancestors with us as we move through this world. Our knowledge and life lessons are built on those that came before us, even the people we never had a chance to meet. So, you know, I said you don't know your ancestors yet. That might not be true. You know who your granddaddy was. You had all the time on his knee. You know, you went fishing with him way before he died. That's nice, but you have more ancestors than granddaddy. They stretch back a lot further. So in order to gather up those life lessons, in order to understand the people who came before us, the ones we don't remember, can't possibly know, you have to clue in to the stories of your family. You know, listen to Great Aunt Beulah talk about where she grew up and her time on a farm as a child. And yes, she's in an old folks home now and she's rambling about how the soil has to be just right. And, you know, she's telling you what to plant next to each other. But that's valuable information right there. OK, listen to granddad's war stories and the superstitions he had while he was deployed. Ask yourself, you know, are any of those superstitions still things that we keep in the family today, things that we do today? Are they a part of a general culture that we've built in America? Ask your mom about her grandma and listen to those stories. I think what's crazier still is watch the churchy family members and see how they navigate the not so biblical things that they do with the actual word of their God. It's wild to watch, you know, someone throw salt over their shoulder and talk about superstitions they have or engage in superstitions they have. And you and I both know that that has nothing to do with Jesus, right? It's wild. Somewhere in there is the culture of hoodoo that you're trying to find, that you're trying to tap into. Example, my mom told me that when she was at her lowest, she heard her grandmother speak to her. Now, at first, I thought she was talking about my grandmother's mother. So mom, her maternal grandmom, right? Or her mama's side. But she wasn't. She was talking about the grandmother on her daddy's side, right? If you get a chance, listen to episode Daughter of a Saint, Mother of Witches. My mom tells her story there. But small recap, my mom talked to me about this woman that meant so much to her because her grandmother instilled in her a confidence necessary to hold on to a world that was not meant for her, to navigate spaces and to hold her head high in times when people may be looking down on you. And, you know, when my mother was going through the worst of it as a grown woman with two kids and a husband, it was her grandmother, that grandmother that she saw in her mind, that whose voice she heard and told her, like, you don't have to live like this. This is not what we do. You can want better for yourself. You have to get back to yourself. And listening to my mom tell me these stories, I came to the realization that I'm the product of a woman who I never even had a chance to meet. I never met my granddad's mom. I never met her. That whole side of the family is a lot smaller than my grandmother's side of the family. My granddad's side of the family is a lot smaller. So I didn't get a chance to meet a lot of them before they passed. And yet, like, my great grandmother's wisdom and strength colored how my mom raised me and my sisters. My mom told me and my sister that we can accomplish anything, that we're smart and we're capable. And if we just, you know, apply XYZ to yada yada, we can make it through. Right. And I realized that she can tell us that because her grandmother told her that. And the only way that her grandmother could have told her that is if someone else showed her that it was possible. Right. Or helped her come to the realization that it's possible to do what you want, to get what you want out of life. Right. So, yes, yes. Learn from the ancestors, but understand that learning isn't always a woo-woo, I flipped a card, I'm seeing signs. Sometimes, most of the time, especially when you're new, that learning comes from understanding the people who came before you by talking to your living legends, by gathering up the legacy that our ancestors have left behind and really digging deep into, you know, the implications of what that means for us now. Now, that legacy can also include what was written about or, you know, what they wrote about themselves of people that, you know, they might not be our blood, but they're of the same root as us. So if you wonder why I talk about Dr. Buzzard or Harriet Tubman or Frederick Douglass, I want you to understand this. The story that surrounds those ancestors of note hold lessons for us today. Buzzard thought he was untouchable, and he played with people's lives by prescribing pseudoscience remedies, and his fight with the law may have led to the loss of his son, right? The lesson, as a community worker, you have to take care of your community. It's not about money. It's not about wealth. It's not about prestige. It's your job. You've taken on the role of caretaker for the community. Harriet Tubman was a prophetess, self-proclaimed to hear the voice of God in her mind. And she was so sure of herself spiritually, so sure of what God was telling her to do, that she flirted with death multiple times just to set other people free. And Frederick Douglass, he might not have believed the Conjure Man's, you know, hide John Root in his left pocket saved him from being beaten by a notorious slave breaker, but the events that followed forged a path for him out of bondage. And you and I, we may never accomplish the level of greatness that these ancestors did, but that doesn't mean we can't reach across time and learn the lessons that they have to share. So once you talk to your living legends about your direct line and you seek out the ancestors of note that really stood on something you believe in, you will have an understanding of the blessings at your disposal. Now is the time that you create the ancestor altar or the shrine. Now is the time to forge a contract with their spirits and start the cycle of reciprocity. Give the water, give the food, give the tobacco, leave out the whiskey, and don't ask for anything in return. So in those moments when you need to speak to them about a blessing or removal or troubles you have, and then you have the dream about running naked through the woods, you can actually interpret that with some sort of accuracy. Because now you know who your ancestors are. You have an understanding of their spirit, and you gave of yourself willingly. Those signs will actually start to mean something to you. Okay, so tip three, finding a mentor is important, I think, for this. So listen, if you want to find someone to sit you down and give you the play-by-play, I'm sure you can find someone to do just that. There are many folks online who are willing to teach you how they work, how their family worked for a long time, you know, in exchange for your dollars or in exchange for getting to know you and, really seeing if you're worth their time. There's plenty of community workers out here who will teach you. And if you want to be a community worker, that might be the way to go. Okay, so that way you have you're standing on tradition. You have a mentor that shows you how, and then you replicate that because you know that someone taught them, and then someone taught their teacher, and their teacher's teacher, and so on and so forth. So there's this unbroken chain of remedy that is proven to work for spiritual matters. Definitely the way to go. However, if you are in this to build up your own spiritual wellness, then that may not be the route you want to take. Instead, you might just want to find community. Not necessarily a single mentor, but a group of people that can share experiences with you. I have to say that over my objectively short time doing this, I found a community. I found a few folks that never actually sat me down to teach me, but through conversation, through observation, I learned a little something. Like the old coworker of mine who really ushered me into this and just explained like lingo, explained what things were when I first started. We've never talked beyond that, right? She's never sat me down, pulled out her book and was like, okay, lesson one. She just answered my questions, was available to me and talked shop with me when I needed it. And I that was very helpful. And it was definitely very, helped me form how I work now. As I look back at those conversations she and I had. Or you can just keep going back to the well of your living legends and ask them to expand on stories that they told you or to show you what they mean, or just being in their presence and picking up on things that you necessarily weren't paying attention to before. How do I mean? So like my uncle's in a nursing home and he has a few ailments. One of them is dementia, and hallucinations. It comes from really heavy drug use from when he was much younger, the hallucinations. Anyway, when I talked to my grandma, I took my grandma to visit him one day. His hallucinations were really bad. He had no control over his body. He was really scared. And thinking about it now, if I was looking at that through my grandmother's very Christian, very faith-based lens, he was possessed, right? Something had a hold of him and he was possessed. And without missing a beat, my grandmother pulled out her anointing oil, crowned his head with it, and started sweeping away all the harmful spirits that he saw. I say sweeping, but in honesty, she was like throwing them down like it was the UFC. she was body slamming these spirits. And I mentioned this to one of my other much older cousins at the next family function, right? And she's like, yeah, girl, you don't remember that this family member who used to do yada yada and blah blah, and that's probably where, you know, auntie got it from. And then she proceeds to just explain to me like full moments of full exorcisms in our family like it was normal. Like that was so normal. And to her, I guess it was normal because she's an older cousin. She grew up with it. She grew up much closer to the arbiters of our cultural magic than I did. And by the time I came into understanding, most of them folks had already passed away. You know, we were no longer deep south. We're now up, you know, we're in the up south now. So a lot of that was lost from generation to generation, but not for her. Right. And she didn't she didn't show me how to make the oil. She didn't tell me why they, you know, you have to body slam them like it's the UFC. She didn't say any of that. She just explained it to me in the most detached and almost scientific way possible. They did this, then they did this, then they did this. And you better believe when I went home, I wrote that shit down in my field journal. I wrote it down. She's not, if you were to go to her and say, teach me how, she would be like, I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea what you're saying. But she did teach me something. She did show me the mechanics of a removal in a way that I had not thought of before. Right? Another thing I should point out is that mentorship doesn't have to be like a fully spiritual experience either. You want to learn how to nurture plants? Go take a class on gardening. I wanted to nurture the plants I use in my practice as much as possible. My mom had a successful garden, so I asked her to help me, right? I went to a nursery with my best friend, and she and I asked the gardener some practical questions. And then they told us, hey, if you stick around for like another 15 minutes, there's a class that's going to get started. And we stayed for the class, right? I wanted to learn how to remove unwanted spirits, kind of like what my grandma did and what my cousin was talking about. And I got lucky because there was a class on early Christian exorcisms taught by a professor of religion. It was completely historical, completely very like sciencey, completely lacking in the woo-woo of it all. But it taught me how to make demon bowls, which in turn led me to understand how spirit pots work. And it taught me about talismans of petition that were used in early Christian, works that we still use now, right? So, you know, helpful. It was very helpful. I think if I told that doctor of religion that he was my mentor, he would look at me like I was crazy. Because that's not what he does. He just teaches facts, teaches history. That's all he does. And I applied that to my life, right? So, yes, a mentorship can be a full set of courses if that's what you want. That's definitely a way to go. And it's very noble and respectful to stay very traditional, especially in hoodoo, to go from worker to worker in an unbroken chain of knowledge being passed down. But, like, you know, you can also free study if you want, right? Look to the workers around you, share techniques, find a community of like-minded folks to have conversation with, pay attention to the spiritual and culturally significant things that your living legends still do to this day. Yeah, I'm fond of free learning. I like it. I think that allows me to develop my own spiritual understanding as well as my own work style. But that makes sense to me because all I want to do is work for myself, right? I just want to do the work for myself. I'm not interested in doing community work. So again, that goes back to motive. How you want to work, what called you into this will, you know, help you determine which path to take. So mentorship, you can either free learn by being in community, or you can find a person to teach you. Either one definitely will work for you. Okay, so tip 4. Let's get even more practical and talk tools. Disclaimer, before I give a list of essential tools, I'd like to preface this by saying that it's not enough to purchase tools or fetishes or herbs. You have to know why you have these things and know how best to utilize them. So do not go to Etsy and type in, you know, hoodoo starter pack and without doing some sort of research into what you're buying, who you're buying it from, or having the understanding of why you need it. Okay. So tools, I would say some must gets when you're starting out. First would be, for me, a book of Psalms. And I'm saying that as someone who's not Christian. I find that there's power laced in the Psalms. And because you have to speak it out, you are engaging your spirit while performing work. So a book of Psalms can be written down as a talisman and used in that manner. Or you can use the Psalms layered into your candle work or to bless a space. Yeah, book of Psalms would be useful. You don't use the Psalms. You don't want to use the Psalms, I mean. Then you use some other holy text. I don't know. Pick up the Quran. I don't know. Do you, boo? But yeah, book of Psalms is important. My second tool that I would say any beginner hoodoo needs is anointing oil. Anointing oil is helpful. You don't have to rush out to buy that either. You can get that from your preferred holy man or holy woman. My grandma gets hers from a pastor. I create mine using prayers, holy resins like frankincense, and herbs like hyssop and angelica. Again, you anoint a candle with your oil, you say a psalm, and just like that, you have a functional work. Like, we're out of the spiritual inner life part of the program. Now we're doing like actual work, right? So you anoint that candle, you say a psalm, and just like that, you have a functional, simple work. Want to bless your home? Anoint the doors and windows. Real simple and efficient, right? The third tool that would be essential for a hoodoo are your herbs and your curios and your fetishes, for sure. So herbs that I would say to get when you're starting are very, very hoodoo, right? So I'm talking hijon. I'm talking hyssop. I'm talking red brick dust. I'm talking devil's shoestring, Florida water, if you want that kind of stuff. But I would gather it up as you need it and make sure it's something that you can either tend to, create yourself, or you can source it from someone you trust. Right. Go to the Botanica. You know, those people are pretty decent there, and they're selling you, I don't know, the freshest herbs possible. Right. This is not a need to, there's no need to like run out right now and get a raccoon penis and you don't even know how to do domination work yet. Right. If you do that, you just hoard things, and that's not the goal. The goal is to understand your tools, understand the spirit within, and then to have a practical use for them. Right. So yeah, hijon, hyssop, red brick dust, devil shoestring, Florida water, definitely things you want to start to look at as you begin. Fourth must-have tool is something to divine with. Divination is a key component to hoodoo. That could be cards, be that playing cards, oracle cards, or tarot. Pendulums would also work. That kind of stuff is what you're looking for. Now, if you want to stick to very hoodoo, you want to lean toward divination tools like playing cards, okay? If you can find some mercury dimes, those are also very helpful for yes, no situations. If you are Christian leaning in your hoodoo, just pull out the family Bible and try your hand at bibliomancy. Okay. You just flip to a page and you ask your question, you flip to a page and that page will have the answer for you. Right. Bibliomancy. So yeah, sometimes, the work that you do, that we do, has divination built in. So before we anointed a candle, said a psalm, and we burned a candle. Okay, so now you need to know how to read the candle, right? Did you read the flame during the work? That kind of stuff. So you want to find guides. If you're free learning, you want to find a guide on how to read the candle, read the flame. If you're not free learning, then your mentor is going to tell you all about that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's important to learn divination if you want to do your own work, so you can have a productive conversation with your spiritual team when you need to, right? So fourth tool, something to divine with. The final tool, a little controversial in the hoodoo space, it's a notebook, not a grimoire. It doesn't have to be this fancy leather-bound, tea-stained tome. In the book Mojo Working, in the back, Katrina Hazard Donald says, hoodoo isn't nigga wicca. And that's what I think of. Like, it's not, you're not being a trad witch or you're not being a Wiccan, you don't have like this fancy grimoire to go back to. It's just a notebook where you write down a few things so you can reference it later, right? I know some folks are worried about information falling into the wrong hands and our secrets as a culture being seeped out into the wider world. And that's why they don't want to write things down, right? Because someone's going to get their hands on it. And I got to tell you, that's some real big main character energy. The Illuminati does not care what you use your fast money oil for. It does not care what you put in your, you know, love oil. Just right. Your descendants might find that information useful if they find your notebook. And you might find it useful when you want to recreate a work that you did that worked really well for you. Right. So write that shit down. It doesn't have to be pretty. Just get it on paper for sure. Notebook is a good tool. Okay, so that's, I couldn't get no more practical than that. My final tip, my final, you know, and my hoodoo in five easy steps tip is to start a spiritual hygiene practice. Okay, get into the habit of cleaning your home, clearing your home, clearing yourself with some sort of regularity. You've heard Big Sis talk about how she takes time in the morning to meditate. My aunties and grandma are old school, so they read scriptures and say prayers in the morning, right? Personally, I like to take Sunday to check in and reset with myself with a spiritual bath and some singing to lift myself up and fill my space with joy. I actually have a special soap that I make for myself so I don't have to keep steeping herbs and pulling out the bucket to do a full bath, right? And to be honest with you, that's all the work I did when I started. I honored my ancestors. I maintained my inner spiritual garden and I cleared my home. On the back of that, along with, you know, the knowledge I was gaining, I learned discipline and commitment. So when I want to do work on my finances and I want to create a spirit pot or money bowl or whatever you want to call that, I found that I already had the foundations to do that work. I was already could already work that into my daily life. Right. I already had the understanding that I needed to commit to the work in order to see results. Right. So if I'm already committed to maintaining, my inner garden, maintaining my home for clearance and clarity, adding one more thing isn't too weird. Right. I've already got those foundations in place. Okay, so let's recap. If you want to build a functional hoodoo practice, first, check in with yourself. Ask why you want to be a hoodoo. Is this something you're called to do? Or can you just go find a worker and have them do it for you, whatever you need done, for the cost of time and supplies, right? So if you're not invested in this as a spiritual journey, this isn't really where you want to go. You don't have to work for others. If you want to, very, very fair, very noble endeavor, but you don't have to. This could just be a way for you to spiritually balance yourself. Second, talking to your ancestors isn't some weird woo-woo thing. And we have to stop telling people that that's the first thing they should do. The best way to communicate with your ancestors when you first start out is to talk to the people who are still here. Listen to the stories of those who have passed. And don't be afraid to expand out, you know, and take inspiration from our shared ancestors of note and how they lived. My third tip is to find a mentor. This could be an actual class that's a step-by-step breakdown of theory, style, and all that. Or it could just be a community where you can free learn and study up on the things that would be helpful to you. But for the most part, you just have to allow yourself to be a sponge and absorb what's good and wring out what's not if you want to free learn. And fourth, assemble your tools. This is going to take time and it should be informed by your mentorship if you have a strict traditional mentorship. And it's also going to inform It's also going to be informed by how you want to practice. Don't be in a rush to have everything right now. Learn first, then buy, okay? Try to source and create as many of your tools as you can, because when you source and create your tools, you will inherently learn more about what it is you're doing and why. Be sure to write things down to keep yourself straight and so you can measure your progress in moments of self-doubt. And finally, you have to live the hoodoo, okay? You can start that by having a dedicated spiritual hygiene practice, however that best fits into your life. Knowing how to clear yourself, how to clear your space, giving honor to the ancestors that came before us, all of that gets you into the swing of functioning in the world like a hoodoo. All right, we have made it to the end of the podcast. Thank you, cousin, for staying with me as long as you have. I hope I gave some helpful tips for you as you start your journey. Or if you've been at this for a while and you listen to that whole thing, hey, cousin, maybe a little refresher is good, right? Some things to go back to is always helpful. No second question. This whole episode was based on answering a single question from Facebook. So no second question this time. We've already run a little later than I normally like to run nowadays. So before we go, cousin, I want to let you know that you deserve the world, okay? Your spiritual journey is going to be a little rough. I wish I could say it gets easier, but it doesn't. But as you progress, you'll find that you have the tools necessary to get over those rough patches a little bit better. And that if you call for your blessings, cousin, they will come to you. I'll see you guys next time.